So I think from a church perspective, we can push the legislation of love. From a societal perspective, I don't think we can.
Okay.
But I think that's why we as kingdom citizens
yes.
should impact the world more than the world impacts us. And the way to do it is we just keep pushing love.
You are listening to Above the Divide with Paula Danielle. The church has been divided for too long, and we're here to help us come together. This is season one, where we're talking about having a faithful posture in a politically hostile world. Now, let's jump into today's show and continue to rise above the divide.
Welcome to our second episode of Above the Divide. I am so excited for today because I have my friend and brother Barrington Johnson in the studio.
Man, glad to be here.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. Pastor Barrington Johnson is the senior pastor at New Zion Missionary Baptist Church on the west side of Charlotte. They have an amazing congregation that is so loving, so vibrant. With their worship. It's a great place to be. You're doing great work over there.
I appreciate you, sis. Yes. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
you're doing you. Great work over there. Today, we are here for our second episode. And before we jump into the content, the meat of this episode, I want us to play a game called Love It or Lose It.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
You ready? Love Let's it or lose it. All right. So Sunday just popped off for Got some it. People. Uh-huh. The best time of the year. Uh-huh. Football. We love it or lose it?
Love it.
Love it. Okay. Yes, okay. Okay. All right.
I'm a basketball guy.
Okay.
Just being a sports fan. Yeah, I love a good football.
Okay, because this episode was about to be over. Just that quick. Just that quick. Football guy. Okay. All right. Love it or lose it? Tacos on Tuesday.
Love it.
Okay.
Tacos on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, any day. Pick your day and we love it.
Every day. And tacos can go any day.
Any day.
Any day. Okay. Okay. All right. Love it or lose it, ice cream. Wait, when it's cold.
Cold outside?
Yeah, because we're getting ready to hit winter.
Lose it. Lose it.
Stop it.
Lose it.
We're not always in the mood for ice cream?
Well, no, and this may be TMI for your podcast, but sometimes ice cream doesn't all the way agree with me. So
Above the Divide, here we are. We fam. We fam in the studio. I'm sure you're not the only one. We're not going to leave you out there. Okay, yeah. Love it or lose it, video games.
Lose it. Okay.
Are you a board game guy?
More of a board game guy
than a video game guy.
Video games when I was younger, I had a Sega Genesis, and I don't think I had a Nintendo, but I used to play with my friends. But as I've gotten older, or when I got older, I think past college, I kind of left it. So
okay,
so we can lose it.
But like technology is what you do.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, in addition to pastoring, but when you off, you're
right.
Not.
and the technology, I'm even sick of that now.
Okay.
In general, so I'm waiting for that season of my life to pass. Period.
Okay. So. All right. Last question. Mm-hmm. Love it or lose it. I feel like this should be an either or question. Love it or lose it. Sports cars.
Lose it.
Okay. Yeah. You're an SUV guy?
I would say yes. But the interesting thing is I'm really not a car person, period. I'm going to tell you this little fun fact. People used to literally make fun of me. I drove a minivan for 5 years.
Did you? Before kids?
Oh, no, it was with the kids.
I was about to say, okay, now. Now, I ain't never heard that before.
Yeah.
But it was after the kids drove a minivan.
Right, but here's the thing. I was driving it even when they weren't with me. So that's where everybody...
All the fellas.
Yeah.
Do they let you live it down now? Because your kids are older.
Oh, and they still have something to say.
Leave it to the guys. Yeah, leave it to the guys.
Yeah.
Listen, there are a lot of things like that we mm-hmm. talk about that we love. Mm-hmm. And let's go ahead and dive into what we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. Because this idea of love your neighbor is the great commandment. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it seems like it's lost its teeth mm-hmm. in the church. What do you see happening with Christians as we embark on this election season with this idea of loving your neighbor?
So I think, as you said, the great commandment, love thy neighbor as yourself,
yeah.
You know. I really believe that we have promoted so much of us as individuals.
Okay.
That when we start looking more as an individual instead of community,
yeah,
then it changes as we look at love. Because as you hear about now on podcasts, on different social medias, or even with any type of life coaching or counseling or anything, there's a narrative out there. You do you. Look
yes,
out for you.
You take care of you.
And I think that that's relevant for many things, but I think we're losing the concept of, yes, I should look out for me, but I'm commanded also to look out for you. And what drives me to look out for you is a love that I am supposed to have for you that sometimes may even inconvenience me.
Y'all see why he's here? Y'all see? Yes. Yeah, because there's nothing in the love is of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 that says love is convenient.
There it is.
There's nothing. There's not one attribute that's like, oh, love is convenient.
Yeah.
Talk to me about 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. I don't want to take for granted that everybody listening or watching this show today knows what we mean when we say 1 Corinthians 13 love. So can we just take a second and level the playing field and let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a fan of this chapter.
Okay.
When I was coming up in college, when I was really starting to plug in with ministry and understanding the Bible. A pastor I was up on to refer to this as the love chapter.
Yes.
So I reference it a lot for not just for weddings or couples, but also just in ministry with people. But starting at verse number 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Wow.
And then I'll just read the first part of verse number 8 where it says, love never fails.
Love never fails. Love never. Okay, so we got a lot going on in our society that is failing people. But love never fails. So let me just ask you, like, where we see failure in how we care about our kids, when we see failure in regards to social and racial justice, when we see failure in regards to immigration policies that I mean, everybody is a strong word, but that even we can reach mutual agreement on. I think it's easy to say that love is missing, but what are some practical characteristics, maybe from 1 Corinthians, maybe not, that are missing? Why are we missing the mark if love never fails?
Well, I think first we got to define love.
Okay.
Just as a word, because when we look at love in our English language, we have one word, to where in the Greek language they have four.
Yes, yes.
So just to do a quick rundown, in the Greek language, one of the words for love is eros, where we get our English word erotic from.
Yeah.
This is a type of love that says, I love you as long as you're pleasing me.
Now, I've heard romantic.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't heard, I love you as long as you pleasing me.
Yep. So because it's where we get our word eros from, or erotic.
Yes.
That's where it kind of has a sexual connotation to it. But it can apply to anything. Like, I love pizza. Or I love certain things.
Hey, so because it's pleasing me.
It's pleasing me. So I love it as long as it serves me. But then as soon as it stops serving me, I don't love it any longer.
Sound a whole lot like American culture right there.
Absolutely. Yep. 100%.
It sound a whole lot like cancel culture.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Eros, I love you as long as you're pleasing me.
Yep. So when you look at Eros, then there's Phileo, which is where we get Philadelphia. A brotherly type of a love.
Yes.
You know, Philadelphia is a city of brotherly love.
Yes.
So that's the type of love between, like, teammates or friendships, you know, any of that.
Yep.
So then there's storge, which is a family type of a love. This is typically where we say blood is thicker than water.
Yeah.
You know, so I may not have ever met you, but if you come to the family reunion, I'll fight for you.
Facts.
Because we're family.
Now we cousins. Yeah, you know cousins. What I mean? Yeah. So, absolutely. Absolutely. And for those of us, because Above the Divide is a multicultural audience. Uh-huh. Listen, Black folk, we had this thing of family reunions. Oh, like family reunion is not every year, it's every other year.
That's right.
And it's a big deal.
That's right.
And we all cousins, no matter how it could be 3-4 generations.
That's right.
Cousin. Unk, what's up? All right. So story.
Uh-huh. And then the last one is what the Bible describes as love, which is agape.
Yes.
And this is the love that drove Christ to the cross.
Yeah.
So this is a selfless type of love that is not contingent upon anything you do, but it's a decision that I've made to love you.
Yeah.
So when in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, where I was just reading, and even all of it, 4 through 7 through 8, where it says love never fails, that's the type love is talking about, agape love.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with my feelings, has nothing to do with how you perform in my life.
That part.
But I love you because I've decided to love you.
Yeah.
Even without you giving me a reason to love you.
Yeah. The part of love you no matter how you decide to perform in my life, that's very anti-capitalism American. It's very, I love you. We tend to go, I love you as long as you're doing better. I love you as long as you're pursuing. I love you as long as you perform. I love you as long, but I love you without strings.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is a very kingdom thing.
It is.
It's a kingdom thing. It's a kingdom thing. I think one of the places we see love show up with somebody who can't do anything for somebody else is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we see love, and we see love there show up. Can you talk to us a little bit about the parable, what it is, and why? I mean, what it is. How does that apply to even what we're talking about today?
Yeah, so there was a guy who came to Jesus with a question. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Yeah,
so that's what he was chasing. And so Jesus went through a few statements which led him to love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, the great commandment.
Yes. And so then that's when the guy came back to Jesus and said, well, who is my neighbor? So I really believe
trying to be funny.
or he was probably even looking for a loophole. Define my neighbor.
Oh, because we do that.
Yeah.
We do that. They don't live next door.
Right.
They don't live next door.
So Jesus went through a couple verses in his story, which we see in Luke chapter 10, to where he was describing someone that fell on hard times.
Yes.
And was almost left for dead. And he was of a different culture.
Yes.
To what was understood for the culture they were in at that time.
Right.
So there was a racial component there. He was Samaritan.
Okay.
And so with them being Jews or ethnic Jews, they were not supposed to give any assistance or help to them because culturally they were enemies, Jews and Samaritans.
We don't have that nowadays.
Right.
No. We don't have them problems. Yeah. But yeah, go ahead. Sound like some folk I know.
Go ahead. So but with the story with the Good Samaritan, there was someone who was not supposed to give assistance that reached across ethnic barriers and cultural norms and gave help to somebody that had fallen on hard times.
Yeah.
So Jesus is saying, when I talk about love your neighbor, essentially, or as he was painting through the story, your neighbor is pretty much anyone who's in need.
Anyone who's in need. You know, I find most interesting about that story, well, one of the interesting parts is that the first two that passed up the gentleman who had been robbed were leaders.
Yeah.
They were religious leaders. Yeah, the first one was a priest. The
second
one was a Levite, a musical leader. And so the first two people were religious leaders.
What does
that say? What are the implications of that for us who might be listening, who are pastors, worship leaders? We hold a leadership position in the church. Is there a certain place of accountability even that we need to be thinking about?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that if we're looking at love or the execution of it, you know, we as leaders or those who are mature in Christ, it should flow naturally through us. Mm-hmm. It should start with us.
Yeah.
And so from the examples that you use, I think it was a good depiction of how even if you're on a platform or given a position or a calling, you can still miss the mark if you don't get this love thing right.
Ooh, you know? Come on, Threads. The platform, you still missing the mark.
Absolutely.
Preaching best 3 points.
That's right. Yep. And doing nothing for the kingdom at the same time. Because as you stated earlier,
yes.
You know, all of this, with these parables Jesus is talking about, this is kingdom stuff.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And so when we're not thinking kingdom, then we'll walk right by someone who has a need that we could assist with, but we're not thinking kingdom minded, so that love is not executed in us.
Wow.
We'll walk right by.
Is there a line that, because to your point, you know, you said a lot of what we take in is self-centered, self-love, self-worth, self-care. I believe in that, but I challenged my own church last night. Are we talking about self-care or are we talking about soul care? Because one feels very selfish and the other one feels like something you do so that you can continue. So what are we talking about here, right? Where is that line? Because somebody could look at that parable and say, well, it was a dangerous part of the climb. Mm-hmm. It was a dangerous road that they were on. The priest had to get to a meeting, had a bunch of people waiting on him. The Levite was supposed to be leading worship. Like, so where is the line for us to say, if I do what I want to do, or even what is on my schedule to do, or even what is in the best interest of my organization to do, it might be unloving over here. How do you go about discerning that?
So that's an interesting question. And I'll say it's not as easy to answer. And the reason why I'll say that is my immediate thought as you were asking that question is there is no line.
Okay.
And the reason why that was my immediate thought, because I compare everything to Jesus.
Right.
And if Jesus didn't give a line,
that's true.
We shouldn't have
all the way to the cross.
Yeah, all the way to the cross. However, at the same time, I do know that not every situation is one that we're called to address. Now, I do believe that in some senses. And I think this is where, again, where we're thinking and living kingdom. We're led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That gives us direction and confirmation. One thing about me, and I was telling my church this over the last few years, that I've given a lot of money to people that I encounter on the streets. And I love it because my kids have kind of picked up on it. You know, they'll say, Daddy, you got $5? The guy, you know, is in need. And so we'll do that. But then there's been some moments to where I heard the Lord tell me, not this time.
Okay.
I don't know why not this time
and
the other times, but I just kind of follow as I feel the Spirit leading me to follow. So I think as we're making those decisions, should I or shouldn't I, a lot of that will be confirmed with how much we've opened ourselves up to God to lead, even in those directions.
You know what? That's exactly where I was going to go when you were talking, because love your neighbor can get really hard if you haven't figured out how to love God.
Absolutely.
And it seems to do a lot with even what you were saying is being able to hear the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Well, that has to do with spending time with Him.
Absolutely, 100%.
With spending time with. So if we're not spending time with Him, our ability to even hear the Spirit of God say how to love your neighbor decreases greatly, I would imagine. I would imagine.
Yeah. And just to further add, because, you know, practical, I mean, there were moments when my children were young.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, three kids,
yeah.
You know, so money is tight.
Yeah.
But also being a pastor, I was pastoring in a particular area to where there were many other kids that did not have.
Okay.
So with me having a limited amount of resources at that time, I have the decision, well, they have a need, but my own household has a need,
yes,
too. So there may be moments to where I had to take care of my own household, which may have made me seem unloving to those maybe in the street. And I had to work it out, again, based on how I felt the Lord leading me. And there was many times I chose my household over, you know, helping someone else, but no love lost there. So maybe if I can't help that need, say, with a tangible item such as money or anything. It could be a form of encouragement, or maybe I mention it to someone else who I know can help.
Yes.
So yeah. I do think if we just check out and abandon the situation, right, that's not right. good.
But that speaks to your posture mm-hmm. more than even practice, because we can have great practice and have a horrible posture about it. Mm-hmm. And I think love really starts first from the posture. The right. action itself yeah. is not where the love is. Yeah. The love is in the posture of what we're doing and how we're treating each other.
Yeah.
Consider the posture of love. What do you think is going on in the church now where politics has seemed, by all accounts of research, has seemed to have affected our posture of love? Why is politics having such an effect? And is it politics or partisanship? Like, what in the world is happening in the political sphere that it's affecting the posture of love in the church?
So I think a couple of things. I really believe that what is happening, which shouldn't, is that we're confusing politics or policies mm-hmm. Or any political stance as kingdom.
Ooh.
And I think that's where things are, the waters are getting a little bit muddy.
Say more. Define kingdom and then say more.
So when I look at kingdom versus politics. So politics has to do, as you stated, with policies and bills are trying to turn into laws.
Yep.
How we live up under a government system that I have a right to vote for.
Okay.
Now,
okay, yeah.
In turn, I do think we should all be active as voters, need mm-hmm. to be abreast on all the issues, because they impact us in many different ways.
Correct.
But we mess up when we say, this particular party or this particular item is what God has orchestrated for us to do or not do. Now, we may see glimpses of that
yeah.
in certain things, but yeah. holistically, I don't think we can marry the two.
Okay.
And I think that's where we get to. We have to keep some, so we have to live in the middle,
yeah.
but keep somewhat of a divide so that we won't get the messages crossed.
Yeah, yeah. Live in the middle so we won't get the messages crossed. Yeah, because kingdom and the way God wants us to do things, mm-hmm. no party is actually capturing all of that.
That's right, that's right.
I wonder sometimes if we forget when we vote, as mm-hmm. we should do, mm-hmm. as we should do, we are voting on a temporary situation.
Mm. Good point.
If we believe that this is a stop on the way through mm-hmm. to eternity, right? We are voting on a temporary situation. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that leads them to not vote at all.
Right.
They go, oh, this is temporal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about this. Mm-hmm. Is there a danger in that?
In not voting?
In having that attitude of, I'm not going to vote because it's temporary. Heaven is my home. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to worry about the issues here on earth. Is that in conflict with love thy neighbor?
I would say yes, it can be.
Okay.
I mean, it can be. Because even though, you know, holistically we can't align a party, mm-hmm. You know, airtight to yeah. a biblical narrative, I think there's still certain things that we need to have an active voice about.
Okay.
And so one of those are, I do believe, has to do with how we're loving and caring for those based on their needs, based mm-hmm. upon mm-hmm. certain elements of their well-being,
yes.
their healthcare situations, you know, their long-term care. So we need to be in alignment with some of those are, and I would say speak to them too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. You said their needs, their long-term care, their. You did not say my needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. My long-term care, mm-hmm. so if I don't know if you've heard this statement. I've heard the statement of vote the way you feel, vote in your mm-hmm. best interest.
Mm-hmm.
How do we manage that tension between mm-hmm. like, okay, yeah, I should be considering my neighbor, and I'm being told to vote in my best interest.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? Should we be voting in our best interest, or should we be I mean, love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm conflicted when it comes to this idea on who am I thinking about when I vote?
Yeah, good question. And I may not answer this perfectly.
So okay.
I'll give you my answer now, but when I drive home, I may have a totally different.
Call me, we'll do an edit.
Different answer. But I think it's a, I think both of them have a contributing factor in the way that we can and should vote.
Okay.
Because I think there are some things that are maybe personal to me.
Yes.
But I think I can't be so, what's the right word? I can't be so married to me and what I want that I'm forgetting that I'm a person and a part of a community.
Yes.
A larger community.
Yes.
There was a book I read years ago called When the Church Was a Family.
Okay.
And I loved it because right in the first chapter where the author was saying was that back in the biblical times, different from now, it was about the family system.
Mm-hmm.
So with it being about the mm-hmm. family system, each individual made decisions based on the family before they made it on themselves.
Right.
So that's how the families got stronger, you know. Now, they weren't trying to paint a picture that, you know, we shouldn't still be individuals within a family, but it's still a mentality that was then that's not now.
Mm.
So I think even our voting practices, we're understanding the issues, we should think about how does this policy, mm-hmm. this bill, whatever mm-hmm. it is that's mm-hmm. on the table, how could it impact positively or negatively,
yes.
Not just me, but everybody around
me? Yeah, that's good. That's good. How does it impact everybody around me? You mentioned making decisions that are in the best interest of my neighbor or taking my neighbor in mind in the best interest of my community. Who gets to define mm-hmm. best interest? Because I think a lot of times people say, well, I vote lovingly because I vote lovingly even if they don't feel it's loving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving them even if they don't know it's loving. Who gets to define what loving is?
Yeah, great question. I would say us as believers,
mm-hmm.
we have to look to see, you know, what is the word of God telling us on how we should treat people, look after people, love people, what are the examples? And that'll kind of help us come out of ourselves and maybe see who are the people in need or what are the situations that my voice, my vote could help care for someone even when I'm gone or even if I'm not here or
yeah.
someone that's ahead of me.
Yeah.
So I think if we say who is the affirming voice or mm-hmm. confirming voice, as much as we can pull it out of the Word of God, that's what yeah. we need to do.
Okay.
And then outside of that, we just got to use our best wisdom and reason that the Spirit of God gives us.
That's good. That's good. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
Last question. Bonus question. This is one you didn't get ahead of time.
Okay.
So here we go. I have heard it said, one of my favorite pastors said it, you cannot legislate morality.
Mm.
Can you legislate love?
Wow. That's good. here's that's a great question. Here's what I would say. That was Jesus's intent mm. to legislate love when he's talking to the attorney. And he's given them the instructions on how to love. He was trying to legislate it. I think us.
I love it. He was trying to insert it into the law.
Exactly.
Because he's talking to people who knew the law.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
keep going. I'm sorry.
So I think from a church perspective, we can push the legislation of love.
Mm.
From a societal perspective, I don't think we can.
Okay.
But I think that's why we as kingdom citizens
yes.
should impact the world more than the world impacts us. And the way to do it is we just keep pushing love.
Listen, y'all. I would love to stop there because that was bars all day long. That was bars. Before we wrap up this episode, though, that was so good. Before we wrap up this episode on love, on loving your neighbor, once again, I'm so excited that you were here. You all, Pastor Barrington has been such a great friend and brother in Christ to me. And so I'm just honored that you would take time out of your day to be here.
Appreciate the invitation. I'm honored to be here. You're doing an amazing thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Many thanks to you.
Do you have a final word on this topic or another topic when it comes to voting politics, that something to encourage kingdom citizens, as you use the word, as we close this episode?
You know, just as I was thinking about today, one thing that came to mind is one way we can demonstrate love is how we respect one another. And one thing that I've learned when it comes to issues in general, but particularly political issues, we don't know everyone's journey. And so many times we have a position or stance, or we vote based off of an experience that we had or something that impacted us throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. I may not know your story enough to make a judgment call off of how you believe or where you stand, but I'm gonna respect you for it because I know your walk was different than mine. So I think one way that we can demonstrate love is make sure that we're respecting where people are. And we can agree to disagree. We can agree to disagree. You know. And then I'll just throw this in there too. The last thing, because I was doing a lot with this at our church. You know, we're not called to be unanimous.
No.
Or we're not called to be uniform.
Yeah.
But we're called to live in unity.
That's it.
And so once we can get that unity right, I think it'll solve a lot of problems.
We're not called to be unanimous. We're not called to be uniform, but we are called to live in unity. Thank you so much for being part of this episode of Above the Divide. Before you go, make sure to click like or click subscribe and share it with someone who will find this episode helpful. Have a great one.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Above the Divide. Above the Divide is sponsored by Cohesion, a church creating community, unifying the body, and equipping its people. If this content is helpful, subscribe to the channel and share it with someone else. We look forward to being together again on Tuesday for our next episode. Have a great week.